This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I am very well, thank you.
Good. So we wanted to actually talk to you because this is part of very, very much part of your history of Rhodes Island. And apparently it is the 80th anniversary of the deportation.
It is indeed. And thank you for the indulgence, I guess. So as you rightly say, today, July 23, is the 80th anniversary of the deportation of approximately 1,660 Jews from Rhodes. And so just and obviously there will be a significant number of listeners who trace a background directly and indirectly to Rhodes Island. And what I'd like to do with your permission is just give a quick overview of that history. And so the origins of the Jewish community of Rhodes goes back all of 2,000 years. And there's no exact date when there were first Jews on Rhodes, but it is known that Jews came to Rhodes after the destruction of the first temple 2,000 years ago. And the community built up, etc. And then it flourished under the rule of the Knights of St. John until they ordered all Jews to convert to Catholicism or leave or be put to death. And so for 20 years or so, this is in the 1500s, there was no Jewish presence until the Turkish ruler Suleiman the Magnificent arrived, 1522, welcomed Jews back and said, and those of you who are still here can re-embrace your Jewish identity. So for 400 years, there was Jewish community flourished under Turkish and then Italian rule. September 1, 1938, Mussolini enacts the Nuremberg Laws on Italy, which included Rhodes Island at the time, and essentially that spelt the beginning of the end of the Jewish community of Rhodes. And those decrees basically excluded Jews from civil society, couldn't teach, couldn't own businesses, couldn't marry Italians who were not Jewish, etc., etc. And there were 4,000 Jews on Rhodes at the time, the peak, as it were, in terms of numbers. Half of them approximately left before the war, and the other half stayed on Rhodes Island, hoping things would change, things would get better, waiting to see what would happen. Jews lived for the next 5 years under a pretty peaceful, benign occupation of the Italians. But then 1943, Italy capitulates, signs an armistice with the Allies, and German forces arrive on Rhodes Island. And this is in now 1944. 1944, July 19, German forces tell the all Jewish men over the age of 18 to turn up at the Aeronautica, which was the former Italian Air Force headquarters, and tells them to turn up there, and the following day, women and children as well, and to bring their valuable banknotes and days.
So this is after Italy has capitulated.
This is a year after Italy has
capitulated. I didn't realize that. Wow.
And this is where obviously the entire Holocaust defies sanity, if I use that word.
Yes.
But here is where it gets even worse, if I can say. So July 23, so 80 years ago today, the Jews are told to leave their aviation palace where they've been incarcerated for 4 days and to march to the port and to walk to the port where there are three dilapidated cargo ships lying in wait. And there's a very moving section out of the book 100 Saturdays where a survivor of Auschwitz from Rhodes says, it took us 6 hours, these aren't the exact words, it took us 6 hours to walk to the port and not one person came to say goodbye. Not one person appeared or came to say goodbye.
And they've lived there for generations.
They lived there for hundreds of years. Since the Inquisition, which is 500 years ago, and even since for 2,000 years. So the Jews are put on three ships to go to the port of Piraeus, the mainland port. On the way, they pick up 100 Jews from Kos. And I should mention, very important, while they were incarcerated for 4 days, the Turkish Muslim consul general, a young man named Selahattin Ulkuman, who was all of 30 years old, knows that 42 of the Jews who are incarcerated have Turkish nationality.
Right.
And he goes to the German command. He says, I demand the release of these 42 people. And there's a standoff between the two. And Ülkemen, the Turkish Muslim consul general, says, I will cause an international incident if you do not release them. Those 42 Jews were released.
Wow.
In full disclosure. They included five Aladefs, members of my own family. And Ülkemen was arrested by the Germans, detained for the rest of the war, but fortunately survived and subsequently declared righteous among the nations.
That's incredible. Wow.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
And so now the Jews are on three ships on their way to Piraeus. They pick up 100 Jews from Kos. And here is the most insane part of the story. The ships even stop at an island called Leros to pick up Daniel Rachamim, one Jew, the only Jewish person on the island. And this is July 44, when Germany is losing the war. American and Russian troops are marching across Europe. D-Day has already happened. Germany is being decimated on the Russian front. And still, they are sending troops to the southernmost part of Europe, which is where the Greek islands are, the southernmost part of Europe, to pick up even one Jew, lest there's any Jewish presence left alive at all. The Jews then, they get to mainland Greece, put on ships, on trains, and sent across Europe to Auschwitz, another 13-day trip, one of the longest trips because of how far they had come. And again, in a very moving segment out of that book, 100 Saturdays, they get to Auschwitz on a hot Sunday morning, and Jews had been already sent to Auschwitz from Salonika, go into the trains to help the Jews leave the trains and with their luggage, etc. And one of them whispers to one of the Rhodes Jews, give the babies to the old people, and replies the person from Rhodes, but why, when the old people are already exhausted? And no one answered, and nobody wanted to tell them.
Sure.
That it was the old people and the babies who would be the first ones to be gassed.
Wow.
All but 150 of the Jews of Rhodes perished at Auschwitz, and in full disclosure, including my father's parents, including 151 Aladefs. And what is important about this, and again, in full disclosure, this is being honored and marked in the Sydney Jewish community, in the Sydney Jewish Museum tonight, and it was in the Melbourne Holocaust Museum on Sunday. And I had the honor of speaking at both presentations on Sunday and here in Sydney tonight. And what is so important about it is that the Holocaust in Greece is a microcosm of the Holocaust itself. And for years, it has been sidelined. Auschwitz itself, post the 1960s, established plaques in the different languages to mark the different language groups which were perished at Auschwitz. It took 40 years of petitions for the Ladino language, which was spoken by the Sephardic Jews from Rhodes, from Italy, from Greece, 40 years for the Ladino language to be included at Auschwitz. And so and the majority of scholarship of museums around the world on the Holocaust focus on East European. Now, obviously, there are millions of Jews in Eastern Europe and only, in quotes, thousands in southern part of Europe. And so it makes sense to an extent, but not enough that the Holocaust in Greece has not attracted the attention it needs to and the scholarship it needs to. And so it is important that it is marked and honored. And it is as significant, the number of 6 million, I would argue, is as significant as the fact that German ships went to Leros to round up the one Jew who was there. Both numbers, to me, make the very same point about the extent and the magnitude of what took place.
It's just unbelievable. And Vic Aladev, thank you for sharing that, because it's an incredibly personal story for you. But I think it's such an important story, because it's an insight and a window into something that we we don't really see, because we have this very almost removed, because of the time, because of the numbers, we have a very removed view and perception of this. And when we hear these stories and we hear this down to this granular detail and level, it really does say so much. Thank you for sharing that with us. Vic Allardyce brings us the Australia Report every Tuesday at this time. Today we spoke about something just a little bit different. It's 7 o'clock.